Blog Talk Radio.
Howdy, welcome to Home-Based Business 101. My name is Isaiah. I have the pleasure of introducing the host. You know him. He's everybody's hero, my best friend. Will you please join me in welcoming my granddaddy, Baba Jahi?
Well. Good evening. And we want to thank you for tuning in to this show tonight, whether you're catching it live or you're catching the archive broadcast. We are broadcasting on New Year's Eve, December 31st, 2018, as the edges of the years are about to meet. And we just want to thank the 47,000-plus listeners who have tuned in to a show here on Blog Talk Radio, Home-Based Business 101. And as always, I want to thank my grandson for that warm, wonderful introduction to the nice broadcast. And what are we going to talk about tonight? We're going to talk about 7 simple ways to navigate the new tax laws for self-employed people. Yeah, that is an exciting topic. And we want to make sure that you, the self-employed person, know how to approach the new tax act that was passed in December of 2017. And that Act was the biggest overhaul to the tax system in 3 decades. It's fundamentally changed the tax game for small business owners and self-employed people. And savvy entrepreneurs understand that change creates opportunity. Overall, the changes will be fantastic for self-employed people and small businesses. However, not all of the savings will be automatic. If you don't know what has changed, then you won't get the savings you deserve. While whenever you have politicians working on a bill, you have to assume there's give and take. There's backroom negotiating, secret meetings, shell games. As such, the law took away some deductions you were familiar with and created some new ones. In this radio show broadcast, we will attempt to show you some of the bigger opportunities for small businesses that we have seen in over 30 years. But pay attention, because you need to change the way you run your business to get what you deserve. Before I get into the changes to the new tax laws, I want to go over how the tax structure has changed, because it's very significant. How the tax structure has changed. This will help you see how the new tax law will benefit you. To accomplish this, we first need to know who the players in the game are. First, there's Congress. They are the ones who make the rules on how income taxes work between other players. The other players are you, your business, and the IRS. Now, I want to address something that has been talked about a lot in the media, because it has caused a lot of confusion for small business and self-employed people. Most of you have probably set up an LLC, an S-corporation, or a sole proprietorship. These are all considered pass-through tax entities because your business does not pay the IRS directly. Your business reports its income to you, and then you report the income to the IRS. Then you're responsible to pay taxes on your personal tax return. Let's illustrate how your tax will be calculated with an example. Let's assume your business makes $50,000 in profit. After all of your expenses and deductions at tax time, you will report that income on your personal tax return. But before you pay the IRS, we have to add in your personal income. It's highly likely you have some other personal income. Perhaps you have a W-2 job that you work in, or maybe your spouse has a job in addition. Maybe you sold some property. All of that is money you need to pay taxes on. So here's how it works. First, you take your business income and you add in any personal income. This total is called your adjusted gross income, or AGI. Then you get to subtract your personal deductions. This includes either standard deduction, which has also doubled under the new tax law, or your itemized things, like mortgage interest and your deductions, donations. After you subtract your personal deductions, you arrive at your taxable income. And now a simple math problem. You multiply your income by the new lower personal tax rates, and voila, you have the total tax you owe. Now that you have this framework, I can explain a new and exciting bonus deduction for small businesses and self-employed people. Since you didn't have a corporate tax rate to reduce, Congress created a special deduction for your business. Remember in our example, we imagine you made $50,000 from your business. The new law lets you take your profits and multiply it by 20%. That would be $10,000. Now the new tax law allows you to take that 20% and turn it into another deduction on your personal tax return, thereby lowering your taxable income. So you win twice. You lowered your taxable income, plus you get the lower tax rates. Hopefully you see that and understand that. Overall, the new structure is fantastic for small businesses. However, I want to caution you. There are a lot of changes in this new law. The game has changed, and you need to know what those changes are. The rules about what you can and cannot deduct have changed. In some cases, this has changed dramatically, and that is what will hopefully shed some light on this broadcast. Before we go any further, though, I want to say a few things about owning your own business. I strongly believe, as Mr. Sandy Bakken says, that if you do not own your own business, then you must be brain dead. So, you know, you don't want to be brain dead out there. Times have changed, and having a good job just doesn't cut it these days. If you want to retire, smart people almost always invest their time and money in building something they can grow into something bigger. Hopefully by the time you think it through and get through the first part of this presentation, you will realize that even if you have a job, you can invest some of the taxes that you will withheld from your paycheck to grow a business, especially under the new tax laws. There are two tax systems in this country. The two tax systems in this country are one for business owners and entrepreneurs and one for people with regular jobs. Owning your own business, even if you run it part-time, can be the single best financial decision you can make. So why does the government give you these tax breaks for running your own business? Simple. America is a land of opportunity, and small business is responsible for 70% of the growth of our economy. It also drives innovation. Do you qualify for the money? Did you start your business because you wanted to really make money? Are you willing to work on your business 45 minutes each day, at least 4 days a week? Are you willing to keep a journal log of the things you are doing to try to grow your business? If you answer yes to the above questions, then you definitely qualify for these amazing tax breaks, even if you work part-time from home. Millions of smart people in the U.S. are taking advantage of the incredible tax benefits of being self-employed. If you already understand how deductions work, then you can move to the next section. For those of you who have never owned a business, please spend a few minutes to understand how deductions work. First, let's talk about deductions. A deduction does not equal cash, but a deduction does help you save money on taxes at the end of the year. So it does have a cash value when it's tax time. In the United States, you pay taxes on what is called your net taxable income. This is just a fancy way of saying the money you make minus the deductions you qualify for. For example, if you make $50,000 in 2018 at your job and you didn't qualify for any deduction, you would pay taxes on $50,000. However, if you had deductions of $10,000, then you would pay taxes on only $40,000. And if you were in a 25% tax bracket, then you would save roughly $2,500 on your taxes. $10,000 in deductions times 25% tax bracket. Think of a deduction like the best rewards credit card you can find. Imagine it. 20% to 53%, because you have an expense that can be justified as a business deduction, then it's like greeting 20% to 53% cash back in the form of savings on your tax return. Obviously, the rate depends on your federal and state tax bracket. So, if you had $50,000, your tax on $50,000, taxes owed 25% is $12,500. If you earn $50,000, you had $10,000 worth of business deductions, you taxed on 40 tax owed $10,000, you gain of $2,500 that you're able to deduct from your return to enable you to have an extra $2,500 on your tax return. This is a very simplified lesson using average tax rates. If you want a more in-depth analysis of tax rates and how they may affect you, give me a call at 252-458-3712, and we can talk about your particular situation. In the example above, we show that $10,000 in deductions saved you $2,500 in taxes at the end of the year. You might be saying to yourself, that's true, but I would have to spend $10,000 in order to save $2,500. But you would be wrong. What if I told you you were already spending $10,000, but because you have your own business, some of your current expenses can now qualify as business expenses? The business expense also always turns into deductions. Mary has a regular job of $50,000 a year. She receives a tax refund of $1,500 last year, but that's not the full story. You see, she already paid almost $11,500 to the IRS in taxes because of the money taken out of her paycheck. So effectively, she paid $10,000 in taxes. What if Mary could get back more than $1,500 at the end of the year? What if she could get back closer to $10,000? Let me show you how this could be possible for Mary. Let's look at Mary's expenses. Each month she spends money on the following: eating out with friends, cell phone, rent, mortgage, car expenses. As an employee, Mary generally doesn't get any tax benefits for these expenses. However, with a home-based business, a portion of these expenses may become deductible. So even current expenses might become potentially deductions. Back to Mary. Mary started a business. Mary has a cell phone plan that she uses only for business that costs $100 a month. If she uses it for 12 months, that will cost $1,200 a year. If she's in the 35% tax bracket, then she would save $420 at the end of the year, 35% times $1,200 in cash because she owns a business. Just wait until you see what she gets back from these other expenses. Now you don't need to go buy a new cell phone for business. You can just use your current cell phone and figure out what percentage you use it for business and deduct that percentage from the use you have on your taxes. Remember that we told you that Mary had paid $11,500 in taxes and received $1,500 back in a refund. Well, in this example above, with the cell phone, she received an extra $420 on her refund to get more of your money back. Next, let's talk about alibis and audits. What's an alibi? A myth for you. Many people believe that their chance of being audited is so low that it's not worth worrying about. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but if you are self-employed, you may be as much as highly as 700% more likely to be audited than someone who is an employee. That's a big, big number. 700% more likely to be audited. So make sure you have your alibi for what we call having your paperwork in order. We all know that in Las Vegas, the odds are in the casino's favor. But you probably didn't know that the IRS also has the odds slanted in their favor. And if you work for yourself for 20 years, and roughly one in three of you will be audited, your chances are even higher if you start making really good money. And in an audit, your odds are not that great. See, the IRS wins 88% of audits. But it's not cheaters that they're catching. It's regular people. According to the IRS annual report, they won almost 9 out of 10 audits last year. That's pretty good house odds. When they win, they collect additional taxes. That means only 1 in 10 taxpayers end up not owing more money after their audit. Those aren't good odds for you and me, especially when you learn that the number one reason the IRS wins so often is very silly, and it's simply something you can easily counteract. See, when you sign your tax return, there's something interesting. You swear under penalty of perjury that you had kept detailed mileage logs and good records of expenses, including receipts. This is something that's very, very important. I need to really stress this, that it's your record keeping that you will spend the most time taking care of. But we have a tool called TaxBot, which just allows you to input the data in there, and it'll generate and populate a report for you that you can use in case of an audit. And this is important because I've had, you know, they were told that they could, as long as they kept a mileage log for 3 months, then they could replicate that and use it for example of a log for the whole year, because they did it for one quarter. Well, again, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but you need to keep your records all year round. All year round. Okay, let's look at, so when you get audited and the IRS asks to see your documents, you don't have them, you get nailed. It's an easy win because you have entrapped yourself with your own words. Think of an audit like a criminal investigation. If you are a suspect in a murder case, the first thing the detective asks for is your alibi. A good alibi will prove that you are not guilty. The IRS operates the same way. They want proof of your expenses and deductions. However, in an audit, you are assumed guilty until you prove your innocence. And by the way, a credit card or a bank statement will not be enough for the IRS. And I know this to be so true because I've had people who got audited and they turned in, you know, a list of their credit card receipts and their bank statement receipts. And the IRS told them, say, sorry, it's not good enough. So you want to make sure that you receipts. If you don't have receipts and mileage logs, then your deductions can be disallowed, and you'll have to pay back all the taxes you would have owed, plus penalties and interest. An audit can be devastating to your business and family, but it's a big business for government. In fact, the IRS used half of its budget on audits and enforcement. Recently, they had some budget cuts. In response, they started doing less in-person audits and started sending out audits via the post office. And it's working. They collected $30 for every dollar they spent on these audits by mail. That's $300,000 return on investment. 300,000 percentage return on investment. So audits aren't going anywhere. In fact, with return on investment like that, I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't crank the heat up some more. Doesn't it seem a little odd that we are not taught to keep good records? Why doesn't the IRS send you a letter when you start a business and tell you what they expect? Could it be they like their 300% return on investment odds? 3,000% return on investment odds. We will never know, but it feels like a perfect setup to me. If you don't have good records, then you can get caught without a good alibi and your deduction can be disallowed. If a deduction gets disallowed, you will have to pay back all the taxes you would have owed, plus penalties and interest. A penalty for civil fraud, such as much as 75% on taxes owed. And don't forget, these totals could accumulate for up to 6 years if the IRS goes back that far. If they found that you owed an extra $15,000 in taxes and tacked on 75% penalty, that means you could owe as much as $26,250. Audits can cause financial hardship and even bankruptcy. It can be devastating to your family and your way of life. So let me show you how you can put this fear away forever. Do you want to have peace of mind to know that in an audit you could get the IRS to back off quickly and without an issue? Let's learn the autonomy of solid tax alibis. Let's look at what you need for your vehicle deductions. There are two ways to deduct expenses for your vehicle. You could either deduct your car expenses or you could take the standard mileage deduction. Either way, you're required to keep a mileage log. In the mileage log, you're supposed to record the beginning and the ending odometer readings for that year. You're also required to keep a journal of every business stop you make that you are claiming on your tax return. Let's say you're going to go visit a client. In your journal, you should write down the beginning address and the ending address, plus the total mileage of the trip. And here's the kicker. You must write down a detailed business description of who you met with and what you talked about to justify business. Do your mileage log records look like this? My guess is that they don't. And let's talk about expenses. Again, when the example I just used, when you have, what did you meet with the client about, either delivering a product, letting them know when a product's going to be coming in, or product, how they can upgrade use of a product, or sharing information. Got to be sharing some information with them about something in relationship to the product or service. We'll keep that. Copies of receipts of almost every expense you claim on your tax return. There are one or two exceptions to this rule, but by and large, you most likely will be asked to produce receipts in an audit. And this is key because, as I said, you know, bank statement or credit card statement is not receipt enough to be able to share with the IRS, here's my receipt. This is what, you know, I purchased such and such, and when I purchased that, this is the bank statement receipt. So you got to do better than that. They want receipts and solid alibis. By the way, the government is fine with digital copies of receipts, but you better be prepared to have them in an audit. Some expenses information, for example, meal expenses require you to document information to follow. Who you meet with? What type of expense, meal? Where you eat? When was the meal? Why was it business? Person
to invest in a product or something like that, then you can write this meal off when you meet with them concerning that investment. Also, how much did it cost? And that's where you enter the full amount, including the tip. So you take a client out, you meet with them, you're delivering a product to them, or you're delivering a service or letting them know about a service that will be available to them. So you got to deal with the who, the what, the where, the when, the why, and the how. Who did you meet with? What type of expense? Where did you meet? When was the meal? Why was it business? And how much did it cost? In this example, all of the information is crucial. If you don't have detailed explanations of your business meals, then the IRS can disallow them on the spot in an audit. I want you to notice something. If you have used accounting systems in the past, you will easily recognize that even the most popular accounting systems in the world are not set up for tax compliance. They're good at keeping track of your money, but fall short in audit protection. This makes it easy for an auditor to collect when they come knocking at your door. If you want to have peace of mind, that you can stop even the smartest IRS auditor in their tracks, you need to check out the TaxBot app. It's designed to automatically track mileage, expenses, receipts according to IRS standards. And that's, you can go to TaxBot.com to download that app. Okay, as I mentioned earlier, in the U.S., there are two ways the IRS allows you to deduct your vehicle expenses. The easier and most conservative way is called the IRS method. The other method, called the actual method, is discussed a little bit later in this broadcast. The government gives you a 54.5% deduction in 2018 for every mile you drive for legitimate business purpose. Under the new legislation, this will rarely be the better way to write off your vehicle expenses, unless you have owned your car for a very long time and don't want to buy something else to drive. Example, your car averages 20 miles, you've driven 20 miles on 1 gallon. Gas costs an average of $2.28 a gallon. If you drive those 20 miles for a legitimate business purpose, then the IRS gives you a deduction of 20 times 0.545. In other words, it lowered the amount of income you have to pay taxes on by $10.90. To find out how much that saves you in taxes at the end of the year, all you need to do is multiply it by your tax bracket. You will use an average tax bracket of 35%, including state income. For this example, that means that you save $3.82 on your taxes, $10.90 deduction at 35%. Conclusion. It costs $2.32 net cash by driving 20 miles. Over time, that can add up to a lot of money. If you drove 15,000 miles, you could save over $2,800 in cash for the next year. And you see, when you're using your car for business, it costs you nothing. You're getting your gas for free. Okay, we're going to take a station break here and theme song called It's My Time, and we'll be right back to you after playing this. Also, this show is brought to you by the Voitex. What is the Voitex? The Voitex is a consumer booking engine that allows you, the consumer, to save 85 to 90% of the time when purchasing through the use of the Voitex. And you can obtain a Voitex through a Serve 365 member who has the Platinum product, which includes the Voitex travel membership and shopping, and also a online host travel booking agency. So we'll come back to that in a minute. What I want to do is take this short break. You're listening to Home-Based Business 101 here on Blog Talk Radio, truly listener-supported radio. I'm going to thank the 47,000-plus listeners who have tuned into a show here on Blog Talk Radio. Okay, it's my time. Okay, it's my time, my time. Yes, it's our time. and you want to make sure that you get you a home-based business started so that you can take advantage of investing into whatever business opportunity that suits your fancy. Right now, there's a sale going on in Sur 365 where you can purchase the top-of-the-line product for a $177 initial investment, which is a $300 savings, and will position you to take advantage and get all of the benefits that go along with owning that product. And plus, get back some tremendous tax savings. Also, you get a copy of the TaxBot tool that was developed by Mr. Sandy Bakken, who wrote Lower Your Taxes Big Time. He has a book comes out, Lower Your Taxes Big Time, which is a very, very good book. It keeps you abreast of all of the new tax laws and tax changes. Each year he edits that book and shares information from it. Okay, we want to get back to where we left off at. Okay, we shared information about the standard deduction. Now let's talk about the actual method. There's another method for deducting your car called the actual method. It's calculated just like its name implies. At the end of the year, simply calculate the total cost for driving your car. Then you multiply that sum by a percentage of the miles you drove for business compared to the total mileage. Look at this example right here. And remember, the deduction does not equal cash. Let's assume you're in the 35% tax bracket. Your cash saved at the end of the year is 35% of $10,021, which equals $3,500. But we're not done yet. With the actual method, you can claim an additional deduction for your depreciation. We won't get into how depreciation works in this podcast. But under the new tax laws, you can depreciate your cars much quickly. Here are just a few highlights from the new tax laws. Qualified trucks can still be 100% depreciated in the first year to be qualified. To be qualified, it must meet the following criteria. It must be on a truck chassis. You must buy it in the same year. It must not have any rear seating. It must have a 6-foot or greater cargo area. It must have a gross vehicle weight of 6,000 pounds or more. It must have rear seating. And you still might qualify under the SUV rule. Qualified vans and SUVs can also be 100% depreciated in the first year. However, this rule phases out over time. But in 2018, there's a rule that gives you temporary bonus depreciation for these new vehicles. To qualify, you must meet some of the same criteria as a truck, although slightly different HOA requirements. It must be on a truck chassis. You must buy it in the same year you claim the depreciation. It must carry passengers. And finally, it must have a gross vehicle weight of 6,000 pounds or more. Even if you don't buy one of the qualified vehicles mentioned above, the new tax law will benefit you because in the past, expensive cars took a long time to depreciate. Under the new tax law, you can depreciate them much quicker. Just for example, under the old law, a $50,000 BMW sedan would have taken 18 years to depreciate if you drove it 100% for business. Under the new law, it would take only 6 years, but you will certainly see more business owners driving nicer cars now. Okie dokie here. Remember, depreciation is an expense you get to claim in addition to the cost of operating the vehicle. Costs like gas, oil changes, repairs, car washes, and more. Number one audit expense. Vehicles are the number one audit expense. Why? Because regardless of which method you use for deducting your car, you need to keep a good mileage log. For decades, smart business people kept a clipboard in their car so they could write down this information every time they got into and out of their car. Recording mileage can be tedious if you keep track of it on a clipboard. But if you use TaxBot, automate it, and it's a snap. And, you know, we have a program that we will share with you on it goes on how to use the TaxBot. Back to artists for a second. When you sign your tax return, you do so under penalty of perjury, that you have the backup information to prove it. The IRS does not mess around when it comes to automobile deductions. So if you sign your return which says you have backup information and you can't produce those records in audit, then you get nailed. It's an easy win for the IRS. So you want to make sure that you have a backup, foolproof, automated way of keeping track of your mileage that you put on your vehicle. So what qualifies as business drive? First, you need to answer a question. Is your principal place of business home, or is it an office that you commute to? If you're not sure, then make sure you give me a call at 252-458-3712. And we'll figure out if you have an office that you're driving, that you're commuting from to make it. Option one, home office is principal place of business. If your home is your principal place of business, as defined in the section on home business, then all business stops from your home are deductible. So trips to the bank, clients, office supply store, for that business are all deductible. Therefore, if you have a qualified home office, then your mileage is easy to determine as business. So you can skip ahead to turn personal mileage into business mileage. There's one major exception. If you have a regular job in addition to your own business, then a direct commute to your job is not deductible. The direct commute to your job, you get up in the morning and leave your house, is not deductible. But you get up and you leave your house, if you have a post office box somewhere, you're going to check your mail, or you're going to make a bank deposit, your trip to the bank is deductible. And then your trip from the bank to your job is commuter miles. So you want to do is make sure that when you leave your house, that you have somewhere that you go to, close to your job, that you can write off for business purposes. And I'll explain more to you about that if you give me a call at 252-458-3712. Okay, I need to speed through the rest of this presentation because we're closely running out of time. This is a broadcast. We've got like 15 minutes left, and I need to cover some more information. Meals and entertainment has changed. There used to be a time that sharing a meal with a prospect or a client could have been a great way to grow your own business. For centuries, people have been using this technique. But did you know that many of your meals could be tax deductible? When Congress was debating a new tax law, they considered removing the deduction for meals and entertainment. It appears that meals are still deductible. However, entertainment is definitely not. This is one of the big changes. Think about that. Taking clients out to sports games, plays, golf, types of entertainment are no longer deductible. I'm not surprised the NBA and the NFL didn't lobby hard on this point because it would make it harder to sell tickets, because it will make it harder to sell tickets to businesses if they can't write it off. The great news, however, is the meal with a prospect or a client are still allowed. We believe, along with most large firms, that the new law still allows for a 50% deduction of your meal. So let's explore some nuances in the law. Let me ask you a couple of questions.
Who is a potential prospect for your business? Who can give you referrals? The answer is everyone. So if you follow the rules, we will show you you will be able to deduct many of the meals you eat out at. The IRS allows you to deduct 50% of the meals. If you take a client out and spend $100 on a nice steak dinner and you follow the rules behind, then you could deduct $50 of that meal. Remember, you are in a 35% tax bracket, and this will save you $17.50 in cash at the end of the year. Okay. How do you know if the meal qualifies as a deduction? The subject can be confusing, so let's turn you into an expert right now. There are some simple rules to help you differentiate. Who did you take out to dinner? Their full name. Where did you eat? Name of the restaurant. What did the expense occur? A meal. Why should this be considered a business meal? This is where you need to be expensive. I mean, it's specific. Prospect sharing presentation with a potential client or prospect. That would be a good reason. What was the expense? Business meal. How much did the meal cost? Enter the full amount, including the tip. Okay. That pretty much covers meals. We want to talk about your home office deduction. This is being able to turn a home office into a tax-deductible gold mine. One of the least understood tax deductions that many small business owners qualify for is the home office deduction. If you qualify, the home office is a catalyst that can bring you deductions on many things that you never thought possible. In fact, you may have heard that the new law limits your deduction for property taxes and mortgage interest. But by having a home office, many of the people that would be impacted by these limits can find some savings using a home office. We'll explain here in a minute. But first, let's talk about the methods for deducting the home office. The quick and dirty method. In January 2013, the IRS created a very simple way to claim a home office. You still have to qualify, which we'll discuss a little later. But if you do qualify, then you get a deduction of $5 per square foot for your home office. This method is capped at 300 square foot for total deduction of $1,500. Example, if you have one room in your house and it's 12 by 12 in dimension, then you have 144 square feet. Multiply that by $5 per foot, and your deduction is $720. Remember, the deduction is not cash. To find out the cash savings, let's assume you're 35% tax bracket. $720 times 35% equals $252 in cash savings. The problem with the quick and dirty method is that it is in lieu of the normal home office deduction. Thus, you don't get depreciation or allocation of the interest on property taxes of your home office. However, you still need to meet the same qualifications for home office as with the method we will discuss below. The more profitable way to deduct your home office. Let me show you another way to deduct your home office. It has the same qualification requirements as the quick and dirty method, but it's calculated differently and it can be much more profitable. If you qualify, then you can deduct a portion of all expenses related to your home office, including mortgage interest, general repairs, rent if you don't own your own home, real estate taxes, utilities, homeowners insurance, depreciation of your home. You notice that I said you could write off a portion of property taxes and mortgage interest At the first of this section, we highlighted some changes to the tax code that limited deductions for property taxes and mortgage interest. Well, if you were going to lose some deductions because of the new limits, you could recoup your savings by writing off those things through a home office deduction. Legitimate home office can also increase your vehicle deduction significantly if your home qualifies as principal place of business. Okay, basics. Let's assume that you have a qualified home office that makes up 15% of your total square footage of your home. That means 15% of many of your current expenses associated with your home can be deducted. When you make improvements to your home, such as maybe adding a gas furnace or something like that, and if you're using 15% of your home for business purposes, then that 15% of that can be written off because you're not just beautifying your home. You are adding value to your home office because you just so happen to work where you live. So you want to keep that in mind. If you buy new drapes for the house, 10% of the expense of the drapes can be written off. If you have such areas in the Northeast, and winter hasn't gotten here yet, but say if you have someone that has moved, 15% of your snow removal costs, 15% of your lawn care costs, all becomes tax deductible. This is added along with your mortgage interest and your property tax rates, which are tremendously tax deductible, and becomes a big helper with making sure that you get the most out of home-based business tax deductions. You want to make sure that you understand how to go about qualifying for the home-based business tax deduction. There's one limitation. One of the bad things about a home office deduction is that it cannot be used in the same year to create a loss in your business. So if your business has a net profit of $2,000, your home office deduction is $2,400, then you could only use $2,000 of it that year, and the other $400 can be carried over to another year. So this is a key factor in doing home office deductions, that the home office deduction cannot cause the Schedule C, Business Form 8829, cannot cause Schedule C to have a negative loss. So, you know, it's very important that you make sure that, you know, this doesn't happen, so that you can make sure that you're getting your taxes done correctly. And if you need more help with this, again, give me a call, 252-458-3712. 252-458-3712 is my number. I'm Baba Jahi, and I am Tax Helper. You can also go to www.thetaxhelper.com, and you can pull up my website. Okay, let's get on to some of these other big investments here. Another big tax deduction is you could hire your children. You can hire your children. You might say, well, hire my children to do what? Hey, cut the grass, clean the house. When you're having business clients over, pass out flyers and brochures, answer the phones and email, keep track of your social media accounts such as your Facebook page, your Twitter page, any social media that you have, and you write out what you want them to post on those social media things, and you can pay them up to $12,000 because, remember, they're
under 17, they don't get taxed on that. Their first $12,000 is tax-free. So this is, you know, a great way to employ your children. And you need to make sure that you do the following, that you set up, one, you need to pay them with a check, whatever it is you want to pay them. And you need to set up an account so that when you pay them, the money goes into that account. And then however you take it out, that's between you and your child. I mean, if it's like pay for their school clothes, maybe pay for summer camp, pay for Girl Scouts or Boy Scouts or some type of youth activity, then, hey, you're good. You just take it out like that. So you get to really, it's like you get to really recycle dollars by giving the children meaningful chores to do for you in relationship to your business. So you put them to work, you assign them some chores. You do what needs to be done as far as the accounting part of the business, which is making sure that you put money, write a check out for them so that money gets deposited in an account in their name. Because the IRS is going to want to see proof that you purchased, that you paid them. Also, you need to be able to keep a timesheet. A timesheet and time logs of, one, what tasks they performed, when they performed it, and how much you paid them. You want to make sure you keep those kind of things in mind, and then you'll be good with that deduction. Okie dokie. Now here's another one, deducting the tools of your trade. Generally, all businesses require tools for success. They range from construction tools to computers and printers. Uncle Sam lets you deduct equipment that you need for your business. To make this expense deduction, tools such as computers must be new to you. It doesn't need to be new equipment. It just needs to be new to you. So you might buy a used computer, and you can write that off and deduct it. Let's assume you buy a new computer that you're going to use 100% for your business. The cost of the computer was $1,000. According to the IRS, if you deduct the cost, you must do it over 5 years. So this means that you can deduct $1,000 divided by 5, which equals $200 per year, each year for the next 5 years. This is tremendous, tremendous, tremendous. One of the biggest depreciation options the IRS provides is Section 179 deduction. This is a certain section on the business deductions called Section 179. You don't need to know what the name of it means. All you need to know is that it allows you to write off 100% of qualified equipment in the year you purchased it rather than over time. The latest tax law increased the limit of how much equipment you can write off up to, well, most of you would not be doing this, but you could write off up to $1 million per year of equipment as long as your total assets purchase are less than $2,500,000. Okay. Healthcare is a hot topic these days. If you're like most people, you got a letter last fall telling you that your insurance premiums is going up 25% more this year. Are you frustrated with the rising cost of insurance? If you're self-employed, there may be something you can do about it. The first thing to know is that there are two types of medical expenses: the cost of your monthly insurance payments called premiums, and everything else. And there's a little long way to lower those costs and expenses. In this section of the presentation, we're going to show you how to lower your health insurance costs by 15%, plus show you how to write off all of your out-of-pocket medical expenses, including copays, deductibles, chiropractic care, braces and orthodontics, corrective eye surgery,
in almost any other service you can think of. Even stuff insurance never covers. How do we lower the cost of these? It all comes down to a simple tax law. It's a tax law that could save you $5,000 or more in your taxes. That would help offset your rising insurance costs. In 1955, there was a provision labeled the Section 107 of the IRS Code. This section allowed a particular group of self-employed individuals to write off 100% of their medical expenses. Not everyone qualifies, but if you do, it could save you serious cash. This provision is most commonly referred to as Health Reimbursement Arrangement, or HRA. And I'll show you how it works here in a second. But first, it's important to understand what the normal rules are before you can appreciate how the HRA works. Under the new law, you can deduct medical expenses only after they exceed 7.5% of your income. The income increases to 10% in 2019. For example, if you make $100,000, then you can deduct medical expenses after they exceed $7,500. If you had to write off a mere $2,500. But if you use a HRA, you could legally skirt the 7.5% rule and deduct all $10,000. Wow, how's that better? If you were in the average tax bracket of around 35%, it would save you $3,500 in taxes. Even more if you're in a higher tax bracket. In addition to medical bills, it lets you save an extra 15% on your health insurance costs. See, deducting the cost of your monthly insurance premium is standard practice, but it's usually done on your own personal tax return. When you set up an HRA, it changes it from a personal deduction to a business deduction, and that change allows you to avoid paying 15.3% self-employment tax. So you get a deduction that will save you the equivalent of an additional 15% of your premiums on your tax return. Total Administrative Service Corporation, TASC, is a third-party company that manages tens of thousands of HRAs, plans for self-employed people. According to them, this strategy saves their HRA customer an average of $5,984. So how does it work? First, a qualified business puts in place a formal written policy and plan that complies with federal laws. The plan works like a tuition reimbursement program for employees, only it is for medical expenses. The company agrees to reimburse employees for medical expenses that are not covered by insurance. Employees submit receipts for medical expenses, and the company reimburses the employee. Because this is offered as an employee benefit, the company can deduct the cost. If you are a corporation, then you can be the employee. If you're a sole proprietor or an LLC, you can consider hiring your spouse time in your business to qualify. So you might be asking, why haven't I heard of this before? Why isn't the media talking about it? Because one of the stipulations of the law states that you must offer it to all of your employees. It wouldn't make sense for large companies, because they simply can't afford it. It'd be too risky. But a small business owner like you, it may work. It may work great. If you are self-employed or running a family business, you will be paying for your medical expenses anyway. So it works great for small family businesses or self-employed people. There are hundreds of thousands of businesses in the U.S. that have these plans. So if you're wondering if
is a legitimate strategy, you can rest assured. This has been upheld in courts and is completely legal strategy, approved and accepted by the IRS, and is written right into the tax code. But remember, you need to have, you write the plan and you get the plan approved by the medical board that handles these plans. The easiest way to do this is to use a third-party administrative company to handle it. These plans have to stay in compliance with every change in health care laws. So unless you are an expert in tax and unemployment law, it would be a waste of time to try to manage one on your own. Okay. That's pretty much going to cover what I wanted to be able to share tonight. So, again, I want to thank you for tuning in. If you have any questions, feel free to give me a call at 252-458-3712. That's 252-458-3712. And this has been Baba Jahi sharing with you some simple ways to navigate through the new tax laws of 2017 and 2018 so that you can get the most out of your taxes. And remember, if you don't have a home-based business, you need to get one. We got one that you can get. It's on sale right now. Save $300. And, hey, it will definitely put you in position to get a larger tax return. So thank you for listening. God bless you, and have a great evening.